Good morning. Did you have a good, nice feast? We had a wonderful feast in Tennessee, and we heard a lot of wonderful messages and did a lot of activities the kids enjoyed and just had a wonderful time. Are you familiar with feast chains? There are things that my family did it, and our family's done it too. It's where you can create a chain out of paper. You create these little paper chains, and you break one off each day leading up to the feast. And eventually, when you run out, you're at the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's a nice way to get excited for the feast coming up. Do you know how many days there are until the next high holy day? How many would you guess? I'll tell you. There's 195 days from now until the next high holy day. We're in sort of the backstretch now. You know, we just came back from the feast and we had a lot of great wisdom imparted to us. We had how many sermons? 10 sermons, 8 to 10 sermonettes. We sang 50 songs together. That's more than a quarter of our hymn book. A lot of wonderful wisdom that we've come home with, but now, at least as far as the church calendar is concerned, we can kind of settle into our normal routines. And if we've decided to improve or augment or change or add to our daily Bible reading or prayer or the things that we're doing, this is the time that it's going to be put to the test in this stretch of time as we go from the Feast of Tabernacles until Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. I was reading Proverbs 8 recently, and several things jumped out at me that have special relevance to us in our world today. So for the sermonette, we're going to go through Proverbs 8. You can go ahead and turn there. Proverbs 8 is all about wisdom. It's a chapter of the Bible that implores us to seek wisdom. And certainly we all need to be making a habit of being wisdom seekers. As I read it, I was struck by the urgency of the message here and how powerfully relevant it is for our day and age. We live in a time when knowledge is exploding. You see it all around. But when you turn on the TV and you watch the news and you follow politics and see what's happening in Washington, does it seem like there's a great lack of wisdom? I certainly see it. It certainly seems that we have so much knowledge but so little wisdom. We're living in a world that's drowning in knowledge and starving for wisdom. So today, let's read through Proverbs 8. I'm going to switch back and forth between the New Living Translation and the New King James Translation, which both render it pretty well, and I'll switch back and forth depending on which one is, I think, clearer in that space. And when you read Proverbs 8, it's part of a larger set. To really read it right, you need to read Proverbs 7, 8, and 9 because it's part of a larger story. But today, we're just going to focus on what we can get from Proverbs 8 on wisdom. Verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. By the gate at the entrance to the town on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. And this is the first lesson that we'll note today from Proverbs 8. Wisdom is honest, not crooked or perverse in any way. You know, when I think of the opposite of wisdom, or what do you think of when you think of the opposite of wisdom? I think of perhaps foolishness. But here, we're seeing an example where things that are crooked and perverse cannot coexist with wisdom. Wisdom and those things are, in a sense, they're opposites. The lesson that I take from this, you know, in your life, if you think about moral dilemmas, sometimes we face moral dilemmas about things, and you might find yourself asking, how much is too much? How far is too far? Where's the line between me and where sin is, because I don't want to cross it? But if we're asking those questions, it might be a red flag. It might be a sign that we're looking at it with the wrong frame of mind. There was a popular book a few years ago that was titled The Best Question Ever. What was the best question ever? It was nearly 200 pages on this one question. I'll just tell you what it is. The best question ever, as he put it, was, what is the wise thing for me to do? Which not a big shock, actually. It seems kind of obvious, really. You wonder, how could you write a whole book about that? And some people I saw reviewing the book said something like that. But it's really a pretty profound question when you think about it. What is the wise thing for me to do? Because if in those cases where we find ourselves wondering if something is getting too crooked or perverse, if we're wondering where's that line, instead of looking for the line, if we ask ourselves what is the wise thing to do, often those moral dilemmas will become a lot more clear for us along the way. Wisdom is honest, not crooked or perverse. Let's continue in verse 9. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign, and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. Let's skip ahead a little bit now down to verse 22 and move on to our second lesson about wisdom, which is true wisdom is old. True wisdom is old. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I, that is wisdom, have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Verse 32, now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. True wisdom is old. Wisdom has been around since the beginning. We should seek it out. Don't assume that your knowledge supersedes what came before. I have a smartphone, and I have many little programs on it called apps. I've got a news app where I can read the news of the day. I've got a news reader app where I can just subscribe to things that I don't want to miss and make sure that I see them. If I have something in there that's too long that I think, well, I don't have time to read this, or it seems a little boring, I can save it to another app called a pocket app where I can come back to it at some point in the future when I think I'll have more time to read it, which often I don't. And then if I want to read it and I want to save it, I've got another app, a notebook app that I can save things in. And I'm just drowning in apps, basically. I've got a podcast app, which is like a podcast is like a little radio show that is on demand. You can save it and just listen to it whenever you want. And if somehow I still get bored, I've got YouTube on here. I've got Facebook on here. You know, news in the media is going so fast today. We're becoming a headline society. We just listen to little sound bites, and we think we have it covered. It's easy to get obsessed with what's new. It's easy to value cheap thoughts over deep thoughts. If you spend all your time scanning the news or Facebook, it can feel like you're learning a lot very fast, like you're covering a whole lot of ground. But all those little tidbits, they're like mentally, they're like candy. You know, they're like little mental Reese's Pieces or Snickers along the way. Or like the old Pringles saying you might remember, once you pop, you just can't stop. And it can be that way with Facebook. You can just keep going on down the feed. Sometimes when you sit down and you've got your Bible and the TV, or you've got your Bible and the Internet, it's tempting to go for that kind of, you know, mental sugar rush of the quick things that you can learn right then. And the problem with the Bible isn't that it's old, because, you know, every time I pick this up, I learn something new. And you probably have that experience every time you pick it up, too. As many times as you read it, you learn something new. It's not that. I think that the challenge for us is that the Bible takes more work. It takes more effort because it challenges you and demands you to actively engage and take a deep breath and consider carefully the meaning of the things that are going on around you and the meaning of the things that are happening within yourself. This is a superfood, not a candy bar. And I think what we learn from this passage we just read is that wisdom has always been around and is ever useful. It doesn't become obsolete. True wisdom is as old as God's creation itself, and it will far outlast whatever is on TV or on your Facebook feed at this moment right now. True wisdom is old. Let's jump back and pick up verse 17. We skipped past 17 before. Verse 17, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. And now let's jump forward to the last part that we have not read, down to verse 34 through 36. And the lesson that we're learning between these passages is love wisdom, and it will love you. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. I love all who love me. When we seek out wisdom, we're doing ourselves a favor. If we love wisdom, it'll love us back. It's interesting that wisdom says it has riches and honor and will fill our treasuries, but it says, my gifts are better than even the purest gold, and my wages are better than sterling silver. So that means it's not those things, necessarily, that could come with it, but the important things are not gold or silver, they're better than that, some kind of better reward. And we know that when we accept God's wisdom and become wise in it, we allow God to lead us into the kinds of actions for which he promises eternal rewards and treasures. We live in a world that is drowning in knowledge and starving for wisdom. And yet, wisdom calls to us from the crossroads, from the high hills, from the city gates. It's there. It's honest. It's never crooked. True wisdom is old. It's timeless, unchanging, and will outlast whatever ideas are popular at the moment. You know, the Bible is still a bestseller today. Well, the most popular ideas of the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, they're just rotting in paperbacks on the Goodwill shelves now when you go there. You see them all there, and you remember what a big thing it was at that time, and now that's the only place you can find it. If we love wisdom, it loves us. Whoever finds the wisdom of God finds life and obtains favor from the Lord.